Take your Bibles this morning. I want us to look into a few verses of Scripture taken from 2 Timothy chapter 3. I begin reading in verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. These passages give us some instruction on how to handle a variety of different difficulties. Actually, it informs us that the Scriptures are a sufficient safeguard during a spiritual disaster. Now, the first part of this chapter talks about a spiritual disaster. We've had some natural disasters, but there's also spiritual disasters. I don't know if you've realized it or not, but we're in the middle of a spiritual disaster. We need help. We need to know how to respond to that. We need an emergency response text to help us. Actually, you're going to find that Scripture is the only true and sufficient safeguard for a spiritual disaster. It will not only prevent a spiritual disaster in your life, but it'll prevent a spiritual disaster in our churches. And the Apostle Paul was concerned about that, and so he began talking about, you know, just a disaster of spiritual things. He said, "This knowing also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those things that are good, traitors, heady, high-minders, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jamus and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist." They resist the truth. "Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they have proceeded no further. Their folly shall be manifested unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers, they shall wax worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you, continue thou in the things which you've learned, hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation." Now, I want to point something out. Salvation here is not the salvation of your soul. It's talking about salvation from these circumstances. Salvation from this spiritual disaster. Deliverance from all of this wickedness that's out of the world. What is able to deliver you from this snare and these troubles? I'll tell you what's able to deliver you. The Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures. We have a serious, serious, serious problem today with the authority and sufficiency of Scripture. We need to get back to the Bible as the Holy Word of God. You've known the Scriptures from a small child, from a very young age, and it will preserve you It will sustain you. It will help you. It will aid you. It will deliver you. It will save you from these catastrophes and this disastrous spiritual condition. It will help you. The Holy Scriptures will aid you and sustain you. You've known them from a small child. I need to read the, I want to read the entire chapter. I don't normally do that, do I? All Scripture. All Scripture. You don't just need to know one or two verses. You need the entire book. From Genesis to Revelation. All of this is of divine inspiration. It's God breathed, is the NIV. I like thinking of it, and that's the Greek, where it talks about a God breathing the word, or actually I like to look at it as God's breath upon the soul. You know, God in the beginning breathed in the nostrils of Adam and he became a living soul. You want God breathing upon your soul, you're going to have to get into the word. It's God breathed. The word of God. I was in discussion this past week with a witnessing to a man, and he got off on, he'd seen me on the Access Channel and said, you know, I'm kind of radical, he said, like to jump around, and he said, you probably wouldn't like what we do at our church, and he was talking about this and that, and I just started quoting Scripture. I said, this is what the book says, that's why we don't do it at Victory. You know, you really shouldn't be doing it in the, you know, and claim to be a church of Jesus Christ, because it's in direct conflict with thus saith the Lord. And he said, well, we don't know if all of the Word of God is divinely inspired. Whoa. Oh, man. You know, for the very first time, I've been in Tennessee for 20 years. This is the Bible Belt. For the very first time, I had to defend the canonization of Scripture. Now, I've taught that on Wednesday nights. You know, the rigorous process that was gone through to authenticate that these books in the book, God's Bible, had gone through this rigorous, scholarly, precisionist type of scrutiny. There was a criticism, and I've taught on that. I'm telling you, the Word of God has authority, one, because not only is it proven in history and proven according to the scholars, but it's been proven in the church. One of the litmus tests that was used is that the books had to have a spiritual relevance in the church. And I'm telling you, these things have been proven to be authentic. Authentic! And anyway, I had to go through and defend the canonization of Scripture. Can you imagine that? Huh? I know where all that started. It started in Germany in the late 1800s. Some German scholar, and I was trying to think of his name this morning, and I was trying to mouth it. My wife said, what are you doing? And I said, it's Schumacher, with some German name. I can't remember the name. It starts with the SH. It's back in my mind somewhere. At least the first three letters are. And he started this whole stuff over in Germany. He was a liberal scholar, trying to say that there were some phrases in the Bible that were not of Jesus, that some other source was used, and that, you know, that's hogwash. This is the Word of God. And I'll tell you something, when you get saved by the grace of God and you get to studying it, you know it to be the Word of God, because it will get down into your heart and it will change your life. It'll be authenticated deep inside your soul. Anyway, I'm not going to teach on the canonization of Scripture, but George Mueller, he made a comment one time, and I agree with him entirely. He said the vigor of a spirit spiritual life will be in exact proportion to the place held by the Bible in our lives and in our thoughts. In other words, you're only as spiritual as you are scriptural. Do you believe that? You're only as spiritual as you are as you love the scriptures. Now, I'll tell you what frightens me is us developing a spirituality apart from thus saith the Lord. That scares me. That's how the whole Pentecostal movement started. An emotional, spiritual outburst apart from thus saith the Lord. Listen, our spirituality is a result of the Word of God. And the Word of God, all Scripture is of divine inspiration of God. And it's profitable. I still think the Word of God is profitable today. Do you see that? Verse 16. All Scripture is profitable. It's helpful unto us. I know we live in a day where people say that the Scriptures are outdated. This is the 21st century. I mean, we're in a time of great emotional and psychological needs. We have issues that are beyond this old, outdated Bible. I say, hogwash! We have people today, they want to go to Oprah, Dr. Oz, and Dr. Phil. And I'll tell you where they need to go. They need to go back to the Bible for their answers. Apparently, Christians no longer think that studying and teaching and applying the Word of God is sufficient to meet the spiritual needs of the church. I don't know when that attitude was developed, but I can show you the consequences of it. You want a church to dry up and blow away? You just leave Scripture out of it. You leave the Word of God and its teachings from the lives of Christian folks, and I'll tell you, before long, we'll dry up and blow away. When do we lose our confidence and our enthusiasm for Scripture? When? I mean, studying God's holy word. If all Scripture is profitable unto us. I spoke last week about divine wisdom, but I'm talking about the divine word. It's profitable unto us. It helps us. It aids us. It strengthens us. It sustains us through spiritual disasters. We won't fall apart when something goes wrong. Why? Because we know what the Word of God says. Isn't that great? You guys know what I'm talking about? You can turn to the Word of God and it will sustain you. It will help you. I'm afraid there's a lot of people that have lost their enthusiasm for the Word of God. Last week I spoke about wisdom and I taught on it Sunday morning and Sunday night and how that the Bible says that divine wisdom is a treasure. It's of more value than rubies. When Psalms 19 and 19, it says that the Word of God is more precious than gold. Gold's soaring right now as the stock market does all kinds of flip-flopping back and forth and people are investing in gold. I'll tell you what's more valuable than gold is the Word of God. More important and of more value than the word of, than anything else in the world. I'm telling you, we need God's word. We need its direction. We need its leadership. We need its guidance. Listen, you don't need to birth wisdom out of your mind. Neither do you need to birth the way you live your life out of your own mind or out of human philosophy. You need to determine how to live your life according to the Word of God. Amen? More precious than gold. And he goes, yay, fine gold, the most precious sort of gold. And he says, it's sweeter than honey. I was going to entitle the message this morning, Gold and Honey. Gold and Honey, the Word of God. Oh, it will feed you. My wife and I have been on this diet, non-sugar diet. I know you can't tell it. I'm trying to tell her. She's lost weight, but I've been cheating a little bit, more than a little bit. But, you know, occasionally, we went to Huntsville to visit a friend Friday, and when we got there, I said, well, I'm out of town, and so we can cheat on this thing, and we ate some chocolate. And it's like when I started eating just a little bit of sugar. Oh, I wanted more. You know, got up next morning, had this big cherry thing with cream stuff in it. Oh, man, that was good. You know, and before the day was in, I was finishing up the other chocolate thing. I mean, just a craving. It's sweet. Sweet. The Word of God, if you'll just taste it, if you'll let it into your heart and your mind and your life, if you let the Word of God in you, you'll get addicted to it. Amen. In 2 Corinthians 4 and 7, I was going to look at those passages hurriedly and just for a moment. But there he talks about how that we have this treasure in earthly vessels. Now, I mean, earthly vessels in those passages probably are talking about our body, our mind. But he was talking about in the previous verses. He was talking about the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He was talking about our understanding of the gospel, our understanding of truth, is like a diamond in a earthly vessel, in a clay pot, a diamond in a clay pot. Now, don't get offended, but Paul is saying your mind is the clay pot. You're the clay pot. Your life is a clay pot. Your body is a clay pot. The Word of God is a diamond in your mind. Listen, you can't meditate or think upon anything any greater than the Word of God. If you want diamonds in your mind, in your heart, in your life, you're going to have the Word of God there. Amen. Diamonds in a clay pot. That'll preach. I don't have time to camp there, but David said this thing is of more value than fine gold. He elevated Scripture as more important than other things in life. Is Scripture more important to you than other things in life? Is it? Is the study of God's Word more important? Understanding the Word of God more important than other things in life? Is it really? Isn't this the way that we resist temptation? Wasn't that the way Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4? It is written, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Isn't that the way that Jesus, isn't that how Jesus confronted the devil? Didn't he say it is in the Word of God? Jesus said in Luke 11 and 28, he said, you'll be blessed if you'll just hear and do the Word of God. You'll be blessed if you'll just hear and do the Word of God. He said in Matthew 12 and 24, he said, You're living a life of error because you don't know the Scriptures. You can develop a wrong attitude, a wrong philosophy, a wrong thought process if you don't know what the Scriptures say. Jesus said you do err not knowing the Word of God. You'll have everything all messed up in your mind if you don't know the Word of God. That's what he said. Now, I think the Word of God is one of the most valuable things we have, because it provides us an armory of heavenly things, a weaponry, a laboratory of infallible medicine. I'm telling you, there's still balm in Gilead. It will soothe the sorrows of life. The Word of God will. It'll help you with difficulties and trials, with problems. It is a medicine for every problem. It's a balm for every wound. It's a guidebook for your life. It'll show you the direction you need to go. And I believe in every area of our life, we need the Word of God. We need the Word of God. I think it's important for us to teach the Word of God in Sunday school. I believe preaching of the Word of God is the pinnacle part of our coming together as believers. I'll say that again. The preaching and teaching of the Word of God is the pinnacle part of us coming together as believers. Hearing the Word of God. Jesus said in John chapter 17, it is in verse 17, he said, my people are set apart and sanctified by the truth. by the truth of God's holy word. By the word of truth, we are sanctified as believers. So we need to hear it preached and taught. I'm talking about the unadulterated word of God. We need it in our lives. We need it in our lives. It is the principal thing associated with everything the church does. It is the principal thing in every office and every committee and every position that is held at the church. From pastor to deacon to trustee to flower committee, everything. It's all about the word of God. It's getting the word out to people, amen? It's helping people with a word of faith, a word of truth. It's all about supporting and sustaining people with the word of God. Now, sometimes we can give some words of encouragement, but you can never give greater words of encouragement than what the word of God says. You just can't. We have these newborn babes, ones we just baptized. What does it say in 1 Peter 2 and 2 about them? What's it say about them? It says that they need, as babies, the sincere milk of the Word. The Word. Now, I'm not opposed to some games from every now and then, but I'll tell you something. Things done at church ought to be about the Word. Getting the Word in their minds, the Word in their hearts. I'm telling you, the Word of God is sharp, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to pierce the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, to the joints and marrows. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It will open you up and lay you out before God where everything's open and exposed. I'll tell you something, if you're not going to a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, you're in the wrong church. Just that simple. In the Word of God. Open us up. These kids need it. Adults need it. I need it. You need it. It's all about the Word of God. We need adequate and sufficient teachers for the teaching and preaching of God's Word. Our Sunday school program, you know, it's all about the Word. Now, I'm gonna be honest with you, okay? We need to gear up. We need to be more intense about the Word of God. All right? We really should. Well, I'm going to say it. I've been really struggling with this. I'm not sure it's of the Lord or of me. I'm going to say it anyway. When it comes to teaching our kids in Sunday school, we need teachers in there that are committed to learning and loving the Word of God. This is not your little platform of playtime with a bunch of kids that aren't yours. You're to instill in them the Word of God, the teachings of Scripture, the stories of God's holy Word. That's what they need. Now, I know we have from time to time, and I've experienced this even since I've been pastor here. People come along and they say, "Preacher, you know, I want to be in the Sunday school. I want to be a teacher at Sunday school," but they've never attended Sunday school, never been part of the program, but then they want to be a teacher. Any red flags go off when that happens to you? I want to teach your children, but I've never attended Sunday school. And still don't attend Sunday school. Needless to say, they're not teachers. Listen, if I was the CEO of Victory Church, you ever thought about that? If this was my church, you know, and you were responsible for like spiritual analysis, you were heading up a spiritual analysis team and you didn't show up for the board meeting, or if you didn't show up for the spiritual analysis meetings that we have every Wednesday, I'd say, are you really interested in doing this position? You want to teach the Word of God, but you don't want to study it? Does anybody see a problem with that? If I was the, I've calculated this. I've thought about it. If I was the CEO of this church, Well, I tell you what, Jesus must be a lot looser than me about the running of the things of God than I am. I tell you what, if I was head of a club, most of you guys couldn't be in it. Because I would be strict. And some of you are in clubs that you're more faithful to than you are church. Think about that. The Word of God. Basically what I'm saying is you wouldn't teach Sunday school if you weren't committed to studying the Word of God. You wouldn't hold a position in the church, I don't care what position it was, if you weren't fully, completely, comprehensively sold out to the Word of God. I mean, the authority of God's Word would have to be over your life. Every part of it. I mean, basically, as far as I was concerned, if you didn't tithe, you couldn't be a pastor, a preacher, a deacon, a Sunday school teacher. You couldn't even be on the flyer committee if you didn't tithe. Why? Because you do not have God's Word, His authority of His Word over your life. Something wrong with you. Have no right to have any kind of leadership position in the church whatsoever if God's Word is not over you. That's just the way I'd run things. But obviously, we don't believe in pastor-ran churches around here, do we? Thank God, huh? The Word of God. We've got to be comprehensively and completely committed to it. Now, I probably just made somebody mad. Let me tell you what Brother Taylor said a long time ago. He's an old preacher. He said, if the preaching don't make you mad, glad, or sad, there's something wrong with the preaching. You take that for what it's worth. But I'm serious. If God's Word doesn't have authority over your life, if you're not leaning upon it for sufficiency, oh, let me at least say this. Whatever you do, church, okay, if I get fired after saying that, okay, whatever you do, don't let some preacher into this pulpit who doesn't have the Word of God over him. If he's not yielding to it and surrendered to it, he has no right being behind this book board trying to instruct you. All right. And I had a lot of other stuff. Maybe I've said enough. I want to finish this. All Scripture is beneficial, it's profitable, it's a treasure. A treasure. This next generation needs the Word of God more than they need an America. The church has survived with the Word of God without an America. They survived under persecution and hostility. Communism. As long as they have the Word of God, they'll survive. We need to start putting the first things first, elevating the Word of God above ourselves, our minds, our thoughts. Let it have authority over us. Teach the next generation that it is sufficient. I'm telling you, we are in a spiritual disaster. Spiritual disaster. And the only emergency response that is provided in God's holy Word is Scripture. What you've known from a child will deliver you. Amen. The Word of God will sustain you. There's life in the Word of God. I tell you, the Holy Spirit will make the Word of God alive to you. It'll speak to you in ways that the preacher can't. It'll speak to you in the ways that friends and family and other Christians can't speak to you. It's the Word of God. All Scripture It is given up. Inspiration of God. I want to say again, I believe in inerrancy of God's holy word. I believe in what is called verbal plenary. I believe that every single word found in this book is divinely inspired of God. And it's profitable. You need it. You need it more than you need money. In the 19th Psalm, it says, you need it more than you need food. You need the Word of God. How can we nonchalantly go around like we do today with little appreciation or perhaps even no appreciation for the Word of God? All Scripture, I'm trying to close, believe it or not, it's given of inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. No wonder Paul said when he was writing the young minister Timothy, he said, you preach the word, be in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine, because the time will come when the church and other people will not heed sound doctrine. They shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they'll turn their ears away from the truth and be turned to a bunch of stories. Watch! Watch out! It's coming, he said. It's coming! You know, I don't get it. I'll be honest with you. I really don't get it. I don't understand how these preachers can get up there and tell a bunch of stories, you know, and then invite people to Jesus. I just don't get it. I tell you what they need to hear, and they should be hearing. They should be hearing about repentance and about sin and about Calvary, about the blood that was shed, about the Holy Ghost. That's what they need to hear, about the change that occurs in a person's life. They need to be hearing the Word of God. When they become a new creation in Christ Jesus, old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. They need to be hearing what the words of Jesus, where he said, you must be born again. Amen? That's the Word of God. The words of Jesus Christ himself. That's what they need to be hearing. I mean, surely you guys see how ludicrous it is for somebody to hear a bunch of stories about, you know, going camping and stuff like that, and then get saved by it. You know, it just doesn't work that way. Y'all know that, don't you? I mean, it's just so far-fetched. But we're in that day. People just turn to fables. I tell you, the Word of God is profitable for reproof. Put your life in line. Amen? It has authority over us. Now, I realize that most of us are pretty hard-headed. And I included myself in there. I'm not preaching at you. I'm one of you. Okay? Yeah. We're pretty hard-headed at times. You know, we don't like somebody telling us what to do. But I'm telling you, when it comes to the Word of God, you best let it tell you what to do. This is what you need to do. Boy, if we just get back to the authority and sufficiency of Scripture during these spiritual catastrophes. You know, you can just tell. You can tell when somebody's letting the Word of God dominate their lives. You can just tell when somebody's trusting the Word. I mean, you know, Sister Judy started shouting this morning, lost her husband, stage 4 cancer. I'm sorry, hope you don't mind me telling this. Going through chemo, happy as a lark back here in the Lord. I'm telling you, that's the power of God's holy Word, letting it dominate your circumstance. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm telling you, there's been times in my life I needed to hear that and feel that and read that in God's holy word. And I did, and it sustained me and lifted me above my circumstance. And the Word of God was greater than my life. Greater than my life. Greater than my life. So, emergency response text. for spiritual disaster in your life. It's here. All Scripture is profitable. And it's good to reprove you and set you straight, right? Good for that. Yeah, it's good for correction. It's good just for instruction. Just, here's the way. Let me guide you. The Word of God says, let me guide you. Here you go. Let me guide you on how to make this decision. Do you know the Word of God is sufficient for everything in our lives? You don't need Dr. Oz. Okay? You need the Word of God. I mean, this thing will even help you with your health. Right? I mean, it says bodily exercise profitable a little, but also it says, hey, godliness not just profitable in this life, but also in the life to come. You need to exercise some godliness. You know, some of you kids, well, you'll hit your teenage years and you'll be pumping iron, but man, you need to be pumping the Word of God too. Amen. Yeah, and godliness and righteousness. It'll help you not only here, but it'll help you eternally. You'll be muscular when you get to heaven, yeah. In a spiritual way, that's basically what it says. You know, you need that. You need the Word of God to help you. Well, I'm done. I had some other stuff I was going to say, but it's profitable. But more importantly, it will instruct you in how to live right, do right, and have things in a spiritual way like other people don't have. You know, I've gone to people and I've tried to explain to them how important this Word is. And it's like, you know, it's like sticking Jell-O on the wall. You know, they just don't get it. You say, here, and they like, it just, you know, look. And you know, why? I'll tell you, one of the reasons it doesn't have hold on them is that God doesn't have hold on them. They've not been saved. And they need to be saved. This is a spiritual book for spiritual people and requires spiritual discernment. But you know something? Even an unsaved person, if they will, in a practical sense, try to do what the Word of God says, they'll have a better life. And that's what happened in early America. If you guys know your history, that's the reason America was what it was in the beginning, is because they had an appreciation for the Word of God. Even if they weren't saved, they had an appreciation for the Word of God. We had 10 commandments hung up in our courts. It was important to us as a nation, the Word of God and its commandments and its teachings. The farther removed we get away from the Word of God, the farther removed we get away from God. Amen. So let's stand to our feet. Let's sing a verse of some song. Somebody might be in need this morning.